Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA Show. On today's episode, we are going over the very first PFL versus Bellator card. We have two champion versus champion matchups and a plethora of other champions from the PFL and or Bellator going up against big names from each organization as well. And we will get into UFC Mexico, headlined by 2 5-round rematches. That's got to be the first of its kind in UFC history. So we have two firsts on the MMA space this coming weekend. It is Yair Rodriguez versus Brian Ortega 2 in the co-main event, and in the featured main event of the evening, Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval. Brandon squared, going at it for the second time. Put your deuces up for UFC Mexico. Let's get into the action. It starts in Saudi Arabia with the PFL versus Bellator. In November of 2023, we saw the PFL acquire Bellator in one of the largest acquisitions in mixed martial arts history. The long-reigning second-tier promotion, the B promotion in Bellator behind the UFC, was acquired by the PFL, who, for the time, the past couple years, there was kind of a race between who was 2 and 3 between these two promotions. But we no longer need that argument or debate because they are under one roof, and this weekend is the start of that partnership, the first mega event. It will feature fighters from the PFL, from Bellator, competing against one another, champions versus champions, contenders and big names versus other champions or other contenders and big names. And it is going to be a very good event, at least I hope so, to kick off this new era of MMA for the PFL and Bellator. The bill is headlined by two champion versus champion matchups, Henan Ferreira, the 2023 heavyweight champion in PFL, versus Ryan Bader, the former two-weight world champion in Bellator, currently heavyweight champion. And the co-main event will feature the light heavyweight champion of 2023, Impa Kasanganai. He will be going up against the undefeated middleweight champion of the world in Bellator, Johnny Eblen. That fight will take place at 185 pounds. So let's kick this off by discussing the two champion versus champion matchups, and then we will also discuss some of the other big name, big implication style of fights throughout PFL versus Bellator to finish it off. The 6'8" giant Henan Ferreira finally amassed his potential and reached the pinnacle of the PFL during the 2023 heavyweight season, where he tallied off 3 straight victories en route to winning the championship. Now, the season didn't start as planned. He actually lost the first bout of the regular season to Rizvan Kunaev, who was an Eagle FC heavyweight champion. The organization once run or still run, I'm not quite sure what's going on with that organization right now, but at one point or another, Khabib Nurmagomedov was at the top of that organization. He came over to the PFL in what Noah and I at the time were thinking was the front runner to run away with the heavyweight season. He defeats Henan Ferreira over the course of a 3-round decision. However, the result got overturned to a no contest after a positive drug test on the side of Kunaev, which allowed Ferreira to still be in the running for the points discussion in the season. And he rallied off a 1st-round knockout over Matthias Scheffel, which earned him 6 points and put him into the playoffs, where he then got another 1st-round knockout over Maurice Green and inevitably in the championship defeated Denis Goltsov via TKO in the 2nd round. And if you look outside of even last year, he's had a very good run in the PFL. He has a 6-1 record in the promotion, and if you look at it as well, 3 no contests. That's a lot of no contests to have in a very short amount of time. But let's look a little deeper into what happened in each of those circumstances. We, of course, already started with one of them, and the most recent one, last season versus Kunaev. So if we look at the 2022 season for Henan Ferreira, he started it off very hot. He had a 25-second knockout in the first round to start his season, and in his second regular season bout, he lost a decision to Clydeson Abreu. However, that eventually got overturned due to another failed drug test, this side on the side of Abreu, which resulted in Henan Ferreira having 6 points and getting into the playoffs. However, he wasn't able to put together a run like he did in 2023. He did fall to Ante D'Elia via a knockout in the second round of their fight. D'Elia would go on to win the 2022 season. And then for that third and final no contest in the PFL, we go all the way back to May of 2021, where we saw the PFL debut of not only Henan Ferreira, but of Fabricio Werdum, former UFC heavyweight champion. And this one was a funky one and a no contest on the side of Henan Ferreira, but not due to a failed drug test after the fact. It was actually in the fight where there was a tap that was not caught by the referee. Fabricio Werdum let go of his submission due to the fact he felt Henan Ferreira tap. Henan Ferreira then transitioned to the top and finished Fabricio Werdum via strikes on the ground in the first round of their fight. It did go on to get overturned in the aftermath, and then it was kind of just a hoopla of drama in that 2021 season from there on out for Henan Ferreira. But alas, in 2023, he went on to win the season and become the heavyweight champion, and now he gets to headline the very first PFL versus Bellator card against a former contender of the UFC, Ryan Bader, a former two-weight Bellator world champion, and the current heavyweight champion of the world. Ryan Bader debuted in the UFC in 2008 in what would turn into a 15-win-to-5-loss run with the company. He never got to a UFC light heavyweight title shot, but he was a contender in the rankings for many, many years, facing some of the most elite talents in the promotion throughout his time, including Jon Jones, including Tito Ortiz, including Lyoto Machida, Anthony Rumble Johnson, and even Glover Teixeira. He got wins over Quentin Rampage Jackson, Phil Davis, Rashad Evans, Ovince St. Preux, and he had his last UFC fight with a win over Antonio Rogério Nogueira in 2016 before joining and debuting in Bellator in June of 2017. And since then, he's had a great career in Bellator. 9 wins, 2 losses, 1 no contest, a 2-weight world champion, the current sitting heavyweight champion of the world, with wins over the likes of Fedor Emelianenko, 2 wins at that, a revenge match over Lyoto Machida from the UFC, beating Phil Davis for a second time. The list goes on, and he's now 40 years old, so he will come into this fight 6 years the elder of the PFL champion Henan Ferreira, and the size difference is glaring. Henan Ferreira is 6'8" to Ryan Bader, 6'2", a 6-inch height advantage, and oh my goodness, is this the biggest reach discrepancy in the history of a championship fight? Henan Ferreira has an 85-inch reach compared to Ryan Bader's 73-inch reach. So a 6-inch height advantage, a 12-inch reach advantage, and 6 years younger, yet Henan Ferreira is the slight betting underdog. I think this is a very fun clash, and you would think on paper it's simple. If Henan Ferreira can defend the takedowns and the wrestling of Ryan Bader, he has a very good shot to land the knockout blow. We've seen Bader being knocked out multiple times in his past. However, if he can get through that long reach, make this fight close, and get it down to the ground, Henan Ferreira is no stranger to getting finished himself. I think this is going to be a very interesting stylistic clash. The sizes and the way in which they fight is very, very intriguing. I think it's a very deserving first headlining spot for PFL versus Bellator. I'm excited to see what you guys think of this fight in the comments below on what you think is going to go down. If you agree with the betting odds, can Ryan Bader turn back the clock one more time? Get a win over the massive, massive younger guy in Henan Ferreira, or Henan Ferreira get the biggest win of his career following the biggest year of his career. And now we transition straight into the co-main event, where we see last year's light heavyweight champion Impa Kasanganai, former PFL Challenger Series contract winner, and former Dana White Contender Series contract winner into the UFC a few years back. He put it all together and won the $1 million tournament in 2023. And now he comes back down to 185 pounds to take on the absolutely surging, in his prime, undefeated Johnny Eblen. After winning two fights on Dana White's Contender Series, once in August of 2019 and another time in August of 2020, Impa Kasanganai earned his shot into the UFC. However, the dream of being in the top mixed martial arts promotion was short-lived. He had a 2-2 record, and one of those losses came on the side of one of the craziest knockouts in UFC history to Joaquin Buckley in 2020. It was honestly one of the most memorable moments of the entire year and of the COVID era that the UFC had. His other loss was a knockout loss to Carlston Harris, and after that, he even ventured into Eagle FC, where he faltered. But in July 2022, everything changed for Impa Kasanganai. He got a victory in ex-MMA over former UFC veteran Jared Gooden, earned his shot to be on the PFL Challenger Series, essentially their version of Dana White's Contender Series. He earned a contract in March of 2023 and went on to fight four other times to win $1 million, to become a PFL champion, and achieve his dream of being a mainstream, well-known guy in the mixed martial arts world. 2023, quite frankly, it belonged to Impa Kasanganai. And in November, that championship-winning performance over Josh Silveira, it was a clinic for 25 straight minutes where he defended so many takedowns, kept it in his area, his realm, the entire five rounds, and outstruck Josh Silveira brutally. It was a beautiful masterclass performance to cap off the year for Impa, and he's coming into this red hot to take on the unbeaten Johnny Eblen. 32 years old, 14-0, a middleweight champion with a great resume, with progressively better competition throughout. Johnny Eblen is one of the best middleweights in the world, regardless of what promotion we are discussing. He dethroned Gegard Mousasi in June of 2022 to continue his perfect run and to become the middleweight champion of the world, and then defended the middleweight title two separate times before the Bellator was acquired by the PFL. The most recent time was a brutal third-round TKO over Fabian Edwards, the brother of UFC welterweight champion Leon Edwards. And while he is very well-rounded, it is clear that his path to victory is to get his opponents to the ground and drown them over the course of 15 or 25 minutes. It doesn't matter, because he will not stop. He is the middleweight Merab Dvalishvili, to be quite honest. He is just a machine that never gets tired, and he comes into this fight a minus 440 betting favorite, a huge underdog odds on the sides of Impa Kasanganai, plus 340. But I'm telling you right now, those odds, if you look at the most recent performance from Impa, should not be this way. He proved that he can keep the fight standing, and when it's standing, there aren't many people in these weight classes that can compete with him, especially how Josh Silveira was put away. And let us not forget that he has submissions to his name. In the 2023 season, he got an arm triangle submission choke. So he is no slouch on the ground. Now, obviously, it's different when you're on the bottom with someone as dangerous and as strong as Johnny Eblen. I'm not saying that Impa should all of a sudden look to grapple, but I am saying that if he can somehow reverse position in a scramble or a transition and end up on top, he could all of a sudden play spoiler in Johnny Eblen's world. But the biggest thing for me here is that if he does keep this fight standing, if he can somehow, some way manage to keep Johnny Eblen on the feet and out of where he is most comfortable, this all of a sudden shrinks down to a pick'em, in my opinion. So out of all the fights on this card, out of the two champion versus champion matchups, this is by far the fight that I'm looking forward to most. I want to see if Johnny Eblen can continue to separate himself from the pack and really make an argument that not only is he the best in the world at middleweight in the PFL and Bellator, but maybe in all of the divisions, in all of the promotions is what I meant to say there, over even the likes of the UFC champion Dricus du Plessis. Time will tell. I'm not saying we'll ever get Johnny in the UFC, However, he can really make a claim here with another victory over Impa, and Impa can absolutely make a statement if he comes in for the upset over Johnny Eblen. Now, we were scheduled to have two other champion versus champion matchups, but we have lost them. The first was going to be the featherweight champion of the world from last year in the PFL, Jesus Pinedo, the underdog story of all stories. Got it done last year on an amazing run, and he was supposed to go up against the perennial champion, the face of Bellator, Patricio Pitbull. Pinedo had to pull out of his fight due to injury. Now, Patricio is staying on the card. He will be taking on Gabriel Braga, who competed in the 2023 season. And the other champion versus champion matchup we lost was a very intriguing one. Magomed Kerimov, a two-time PFL champion, was slated to go up against Jason Jackson, the man who just at the tail end of Bellator's run dethroned the undefeated at the time Yaroslav Amazov via knockout. Magomed had to pull out due to injury as well, but much like Patricio Pitbull, the side of Bellator, Jason Jackson, is staying on this card. He will be facing the 2021 PFL champion, Ray Cooper III, and we can just keep the discussion here because that is the next fight after, or I should say, leading into those two championship fights that we started off with. Ray Cooper III, short notice, catchweight 182 pounds, going up against the newly crowned welterweight champion in Bellator, Jason Jackson. And not only was Ray Cooper a champion in 2021, but he was a champion in 2019 as well. So another two-time PFL champion to enter in onto this card. One two-time champion takes the place of the other two-time champion in Magomillions. And Ray Cooper has had a kind of a weird last couple of years. He's lost two of his last three fights. He welcomed Derek Brunson to the PFL in November in a losing decision in like a featured style bout, and lost in the 2022 season to Carlos Liao. He's still right in those prime years at 31 years old, but he's had a couple weight miss issues and some injuries lingering, so I look forward to see if he can right the ship in 2024, put together a nice full calendar of activity, and no better way to start it than with a victory over the Bellator welterweight champion. And for Jason Jackson, he quietly put together a very impressive run during his time in Bellator. He lost in 2019 and has not looked back since. He's won seven straight fights with victories over former champions such as Benson Henderson, victories over Paul Daly, Douglas Lima. He dethroned the once undefeated Yaroslav Amazov, who at that time looked unstoppable. And not only did he win, he ended a decision streak by knocking out Amazov in round number three in a fight that even leading into that third round, it was all Jason Jackson. The ass-kicking machine, as he is known, is 33 years old, 17-4, right in those prime years, and I'm telling you, after a massive upset victory, he put himself on the map and is one of the most respected welterweights in the promotion right now, and that promotion now features, of course, the PFL and Bellator. I very much look forward to this scrap. Of course, it's at catchweight. I wish we were getting Magomillions versus Jason Jackson. We even got the face-off between those two, just like we did with Pinedo and Patricio Pitbull, but maybe we'll get that at another date in 2024. Jason Jackson first has to go through another two-time champ, Ray Cooper III. As I mentioned, the other championship fight, or champion versus champion fight, pardon me, that we lost with Pinedo and Patricio Pitbull, we now get Gabriel Braga stepping in with a 12-1 record going up against just the guy for Bellator for many, many years at this point, a two-weight world champion, someone that even tried to become a three-weight world champion, Patricio Pitbull. I look for that to be a good scrap, but it's an uphill battle for Braga. And kudos to him because he was actually slated to fight Aaron Pico. They took him out of that fight to put him in a higher spot against Patricio Pitbull, which resulted in Aaron Pico getting a new opponent lower on that card as well against Henry Corrales. We also have the 2021 heavyweight championship winner, Bruno Capoloza, welcoming Vadim Nemkov to the heavyweight division. Vadim was a long-reigning light heavyweight champion. We even had the pleasure of seeing him live in person over my shoulder there. We did only see Nemkov compete one time in 2023, and that was a championship fight against Yoel Romero. He did get the victory there. So during his time as champion, Nemkov dethroned Ryan Bader and defended the title four times. He has since vacated it. We will be getting the vacant championship fight at light heavyweight for Bellator, I believe in March, if I'm not mistaken. But here we see Nemkov going up to heavyweight for the first time in his Bellator slash now PFL career. And it's a pretty good test because Bruno Capoloza is no slouch. Vadim is one of the most highly decorated kickboxers in the sport right now. Bruno is ultra dangerous, very long and rangy guy. I look for that to be a very fun clash. We also get Thiago Santos versus Yoel Romero. Wow, never say never in this fight game. Thiago Santos ended his UFC career in August of 2022, having lost five of his last six fights, and then he lost his debut in the PFL to Rob Wilkinson. However, that result did get overturned in what was another failed drug test in 2023 for the PFL and their big name guys. It was a rough year on that side of the spectrum for their company. So Thiago only competed once in 2023, and it wasn't a losing effort. Of course, it did get overturned, but now he's coming in to fight Yoel, the soldier of God, Romero, the former Olympic silver medalist. Yoel came into Bellator in 2021. He's got a record of 2-2 in the promotion. I just talked about his loss to Vadim Nemkov in a title fight, and his other loss was his debut, which was against Phil Davis. But sandwiched in between that were two knockout victories, and at 46 years old, he is still molded and built like a statue made of marble. This should be a very interesting clash, but isn't going to just be some wild fight where these two dudes just absolutely throw bombs at one another. The way they fought recently, we may just have to wait and find out what happens, because it could be a very, very dull fight as well. And we have a banger of a fight at 155 pounds between the never in a boring fight Clay Collard and former Bellator champion AJ McKee. Clay Collard put together his best season yet in the PFL when he made it to the championship last year before losing to OAM Olivier Aubin Mercier, who at that time amassed his second straight PFL championship. He went undefeated in the promotion and retired on top. But before that, he beat Shane Burgos. He finished Stevie Ray. I mean, he was a great 2023 for Clay Collard. Again, all of his fights are exciting. They are electric. He never gets exhausted. He will come at you from bell to bell. AJ McKee, he has to be ready. AJ McKee was at one point undefeated, built his career in the Bellator featherweight division. He won the championship by dethroning Patricio Pitbull, lost the title in their immediate rematch, moved up to 155 pounds, and has been 3-0 ever since. He's 21-1 and still only 28 years old. I think we are in for a treat in this lightweight bout. I think it's going to be electric from start to finish. Clay Collard, never in a boring fight. AJ McKee, as well rounded and polished as they come. Put these two together, it's going to be a beautiful clash. And throughout the rest of the card, there are other big names from both promotions. I mentioned the likes of Aaron Pico from Bellator. He's getting a short notice replacement against Henry Corrales. Biagio Ali Walsh, after a very dominant amateur career, a lot of that happened in the PFL that we got to witness, will be making his professional debut. Clarissa Shields is coming back and fighting for the third time in the PFL on this card as well. So be sure to give me all of your thoughts on the very first PFL versus Bellator card in the comments below. Give me all of your predictions. Build your parlays. Start a discussion. Who do you think is going to have the big standout performances? Will we have the PFL pull off some upsets? Because if you look at all of those main featured bouts, there's only one PFL fighter that is the betting favorite. And that fighter being Thiago Santos. He's currently minus 130 the day I'm recording this on Wednesday. On the comeback is Yoel Romero at plus 110. All of the other big featured veteran versus veteran, champion versus champion matchups are favored on the side of Bellator. And then you, of course, have Biagio Ali Walsh on the side of PFL that has a favorite next to his name, and Clarissa Shields. But they are not fighting Bellator talent. So in terms of the battle of promotions, Bellator on paper has the heavy advantage on the betting side of things, so we'll see how that turns out. I'm very excited for this. I am hopeful that this will turn into, you know, a 2-3-4 time a year thing where we get the biggest names from both promotions going up against one another. We of course have the actual season that the PFL, or that we know them to do every year, starting up in April. So this is the start of what should be a very fun year, a very, you know, monumental year for the sport of MMA. I think it's the best time ever to be in the mixed martial arts game as a fight fan. That's everything for PFL versus Bellator. Now we hop right into UFC Mexico. We have two rematches at the top of the bill. Yair Rodriguez versus Brian Ortega in the co-main event for 5 rounds, if we need it. And Brandon Royval versus Brandon Moreno, number 2. Brandon versus Brandon squared. UFC Mexico, let's go. We first saw Brandon Moreno and Brandon Royval square off in November of 2020, where Moreno would go on to win the fight with 1 second left in the very first round with a TKO on the ground. And while I'm not discrediting Moreno, because it was a great fight for those 4 minutes and 59 seconds, very back and forth, with Moreno getting the better of that first round, Royval did have an injury sustained to his shoulder where it looked like it had kind of pulled out of place, and then he kind of held his wrist at the same time. I can't remember the exact specification of what happened in the aftermath, but there was an injury on the Royval side, but still nonetheless an incredible performance from Moreno to get a victory, and which would send him into his rivalry and quadrilogy with Davison Figueiredo for the flyweight championship of the world. We saw Moreno come out on the better side of that quadrilogy with 2 wins to 1 loss and 1 draw in their very first fight, which was one of the best flyweight fights of all time. Squeezed in between there is a victory over Kai Kara France as well. And then we saw in another title bout Moreno lose last year to Alexandre Pantoja, who is still the current men's flyweight champion. And I say that he is still the flyweight champion because on the other side, he made his first title defense against Brandon Raw Dog Royval. That came in December at UFC 296, where Pantoja would get the nod on the judges' scorecards over the course of a great 25-minute fight. Prior to that, Royval had tallied off 3 straight victories, 2 of which came in the first round by finish. He beat Rogério Bontorin, Matt Schnell, and Matheus Nicolau en route to getting his first UFC title shot. And now, turning around in just over 2 months removed from his first ever title fight that we just discussed, he has the opportunity to right the wrong and get revenge against Moreno and earn himself a second crack at UFC gold. This fight's going to be nonstop from bell to bell, assuming it does go 25 minutes. I'm not quite so sure it may, but these two guys are just built for this fight game. Moreno fighting in his home country of Mexico, used to training at elevation, as is Brandon Raw Dog Royval as well, for what it's worth. Now, not quite as high. I believe he's from the Denver camp, so the Mile High City at 5280. Moreno, and I believe where they are in Mexico City, is over 7,000 feet above sea level. We've seen these factors play a role in fights in the past, including Cain Velasquez losing his championship fight. So if you do not come to Mexico prepared to fight at elevation, you can drain, and you can drain very quickly. A lot of people, I've even seen this thrown around on Twitter for like people that bet on the sport and whatnot, people are throwing around when people have arrived in Mexico, how long they've been there to acclimate to the elements and to that high elevation with their cardio. So a lot of fighters have been there. I mean, there's a ton of Mexican talent on this card. Obviously, that's why the UFC is going there. But outside of that, a lot of fighters have been getting there at least 2 weeks out from the night that the fights occur on Saturday. So I anticipate with the way Raw Dog fights and with his elevation experience, we're going to have two guys that are fresh for 25 minutes. I mean, if you just go back to December, Royval went 25 minutes, when Pantoja never tired, was in that fight till the very end. It was a very competitive back and forth fight. I expect much of the same here. If that 4 minutes and 59 seconds that we got in 2020 is any indication of what type of fight we could get with these two guys, us as fight fans are in for an absolute treat. These are two of the most active fighters at 125 pounds, two guys that at the age of 30 and age 31 that are right into their prime years or entering, as of now, their prime years. And I think this is the recipe for success, to have a barn burner of a fight. It is a fight where, you know, yeah, it's two guys that are in the title picture. Do we really want to see them get right back into it? I mean, until proven otherwise, you know, you got to earn your spot to be up here. And if these guys are holding their way in the top five, then so be it. The winner of this is deserving of a title fight. The original booking was Moreno versus Albazi. Maybe they go ahead and put Albazi into the title fight. I believe the UFC is going to Brazil in May for UFC 301. We could maybe see Pantoja versus Albazi there. Then the winner of Moreno and Royval 2 can get the winner of Pantoja and Albazi. I think that makes a lot of sense if the UFC is looking to take a Brazilian champion to Brazil. We know Alex Pereira is booked for UFC 300. He has came out and said that if he doesn't take a lot of damage, he'll turn around on the 21 days and fight in Brazil as well. But that seems risky, and I don't know if anybody's coming out of that Hill and Pereira fight unscathed. So we'll see come April 13th. But for the time being, that's the picture right now, if you ask me, at 125 pounds. So the winner here has a lot on the line, and the loser probably doesn't take that much of a back step. However, there are other guys in this division that are trying to climb, such as Mohamed Mohaev, such as Manel Kopp. So we will see who will hold their spot and who may not Saturday night at UFC Mexico. And much like the main event, not only are we going to get a five-rounder in the co-main event slot, but it is another rematch, this time at a 145-pound bout between Yair Rodriguez and Brian Ortega. We saw these two square off in July of 2022 at UFC Long Island, which was also an ABC fight night card. And compared to the main event that we're getting between Moreno and Royval, there's also another similarity here in the fact that there was some sort of arm/shoulder injury. Now, this one was much more prevalent and prominent than that of which we saw in the flyweights first fight. In this one, Brian Ortega completely faltered around, or like gave up in the fight. It was, I think he separated his shoulder, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's even had to have a surgery or two during his layoff. So this is Ortega's first fight back since July of 2022. Whereas on the other side, in the red corner, Yair Rodriguez has fought two other times. He became the interim champion of the world and has experience fighting one of the best in the world in Alexander Volkanovski, which happened in July of 2023. And again, I love the similarities between these two fights, because this one was also shaping up to be a very good 25-minute main event. For the 4 minutes and 11 seconds that we got, it was very entertaining. It felt very high level. Both guys were landing shots. Brian Ortega had control of the clinch game. Yair was landing some good shots at range. But surprisingly, Ortega was holding up pretty well to his own right in the striking. He landed some good shots. He cut Yair, I believe it was his right, underneath of his right eye early on into that round. So if we can just pick up where we left off, I think we're in store for another great fight in this weekend's co-main event. I think it's worth mentioning that coming in, Yair is a minus 155 favorite. On the comeback is Brian Ortega at plus 130. I don't think that those numbers are based upon the result of their first fight, to be quite honest with you. I think it is based on, one, Brian Ortega's year-and-a-half-long layoff, over a year-and-a-half, as a matter of fact, closing in on closer to 2 years than a year-and-a-half at this point, I suppose. And for Yair, the second reason is he's fought two times since then. He became the champion. He had a great finish over Josh Emmett. He went tit-for-tat with Alexander Volkanovski until getting finished in the third round of their title fight last July. But if you just look at the 4 minutes that we got in their first fight, this is a dead even pick 'em. And I think this is a very hard fight to have a side to bet on, if I'm being honest with you. I don't like wagering when I see inactivity from guys. You pair that with coming back against someone who's gotten an interim championship since you have last fought in Brian T-City Ortega. He's great with his jiu-jitsu, but can he get Yair down there and have success? That remains to be seen, because in that first fight, he did not. He controlled the clinch, but couldn't get Yair down. And on the flip side, if you're on the side of Yair, look at that fight. Look at how Ortega was having success on the feet. And on paper, this is how Yair's path to victory should be come this weekend, but it may not come as easy as he may hope and what some people may think. I think this is a great fight. It'll be interesting to see how Ortega looks. Will there be ring rust after this long of a layoff, after surgery, after injuries? And Yair, yes, having fought last year two times since their first fight, he still has had a relatively lengthy layoff. I guess we would be going on around 8 months or so, give or take, since that fight with Volkanovski. So we'll see how he's gotten in his time off, what improvements he has made. But I think if I had to pick, I would lean Yair, solely for the fact that over the course of 25 minutes, I think his striking will play out more beneficial than what Brian Ortega's would. But if Brian can get the fight to the ground, I meant to say down to the ground, mixed it up, you get the point. If he gets it down to the ground, can Yair get up? Or will Ortega use his world-class jiu-jitsu to get another UFC submission win? And after this long layoff, launch himself right back into the title mix at 145, which is very, very fresh right now. In our most recent episode, talking about UFC 298 and Ilia Topuria's victory, I posed that there are essentially five options for his first title defense, and one of those options is the winner of Yair Rodriguez versus Brian Ortega 2. And throughout this card, there's a plethora of other Mexican mixed martial artists that are here. We're talking Daniel Zellhuber. Raul Rosas Jr. is back on this card, taking on Ultimate Fighter winner Ricky Tercios. Yasmin Yeriguay is the biggest betting favorite on this card, going against the veteran in Sam Hughes, who is no stranger to pulling off upsets. Manuel Torres is taking on Chris Duncan, the Contender Series alum. We're finally, or at least hopefully, going to see the ending to this rivalry, I guess, or trilogy, if you will, between Edgar Chaires and Daniel Lacerda, which is bound to be beautiful chaos for as long as it lasts. So be sure to tune in this weekend. UFC Mexico goes down Saturday night. It's a big, big Saturday in the world of mixed martial arts. PFL versus Bellator and UFC Mexico in the evening. It's going to be a great day. And that's it for today's Below Average Joe's MMA show. PFL versus Bellator, UFC Mexico. It's going to be a monumental weekend in the world of mixed martial arts with plenty of things to discuss come Monday. There weren't any news stories that broke throughout the week, at least thus far. I am recording this on Wednesday, so maybe you got a little something else that happened before you guys hear this Friday morning. But if not, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll catch you on Monday for the recap as we go over all of the most meaningful and impactful results.